Okay. All right. Well, it has been several months since I have been up here to share. I believe Nick said that last week. I listened to his message, which was awesome, by the way. I loved it. It has been since March, since I've stood up here to actually bring a word, and I am freaking out a little bit. I'm pretty emotional. Every worship song I've heard today, I've just been like, oh, this is speaking to me. So I have a Kleenex just in case. But today is the third week in our Refresh the Church series. And I wanted to share with you what that means to me and kind of my thoughts behind that title, Refresh the Church. So part of my job here is to do the app and the website, and I've been working on that a lot. And what happens when you're doing that is that everybody sees, and then you have like a back page that nobody sees. And that's the back page that nobody sees is the page that I work on, and it's I don't know coding, so don't get all excited. That's not the kind of stuff that I do. Basically, I change pictures and words and colors and all that kind of stuff. And but you go into the back page and you do a bunch of work, and then you go back to the front page, and you have to click refresh so that you can see all the work that you did. Does that make sense? And I believe we've been in a season where God has been working on the back page of the church, and he's been working on the back page of our lives. And it's time that we go back to that front page that we have been staring at, and we hit refresh to see what he's done. Because he's done a lot. And many of us have continued to look at that same old page. And we need to be able to refresh the page and say, all right, God, what have you done? What are you doing? I want to refresh the church. I want to see this new thing that you're doing. And so for me, that's what this whole series is about. And it's about going back to the values that we have as a church, and not only refreshing our minds, maybe some of us learning it for the first time, but also seeing what has God done in all of those areas that he is expanding on in this season. Because I know that all of us have been through a year of what in the world has happened. We've preached a ton on a lot of that stuff, but because we're in this this new season, it's time that we hit refresh and we say, all right, God, we want to see what you've done, and we want to participate with where you're going. Does that make sense? All right, so I am speaking the second week on love, and I'm going to speak specifically on love in the context of community, along in the context of being with one another in this body and in this community. And this is really important, because one of the things that Jesus talked about with his disciples, and you probably are familiar with this, it's in John 13. I'm not going to read the scripture, but essentially he says, look, I'm giving you a new commandment, and that is to love one another the way that God has, the way that I have loved you. And this is so that they will know that you are my true disciples, that you love one another the way that Christ has loved us. And we got to have a refresh, I think, on what that looks like. You know, there was a few weeks ago, somebody from the Herald came and talked to Mark, and she said to him, what is the church doing for unity in our community and to help unify our community? And you know what he had to tell her? The church is struggling itself for unity. Our community, our church community, is looking for a leader in love, looking for a leader in unity, looking for a leader in bringing us all back together. And they were looking at the church. They're looking at the church, wondering, what's the church doing? And man, I want to be able to say we're doing exactly what God has asked us to do, and that's loving one another and loving our community. Now, I'm not spanking us, and I'm not like coming down on everybody saying, do it, all right? I believe in many ways we have, okay? It's not a hopeless message. There, in many ways, we have done that. But I believe that God has been doing a bunch of stuff on the back page that he says, I want you to refresh the church because I want you to see what I'm doing in the future. So because we are the hope of the world, not in of ourselves, but we who follow Christ are the ones who bring him. We bring his presence into everywhere that we go. And when that's our mission, is that we would bring heavenly community to where we live, work, and play so that others will know God. It is us that brings the hope of the world. And so he's like, look, get ready. I got stuff to do, and I'm going to do it through you. So hit the refresh on your own life and hit the refresh on the church, and I want to show you what love looks like, because they are going to know, they, the world, are going to know that we're true disciples, true followers of God, by the way we love one another in this building and in our community. All right? So how do we do this? Well, I looked up, because I always do, I looked up, what is love? I Googled, what does love mean? Let me tell you what the definition was. It says, it's a feeling of strong or constant affection for a person. I believe, did I erase that? I might have erased that, it might be up there. It's a feeling of strong or constant affection for a person. Let me ask you, do you feel that way about everybody in this room? I don't. I don't. I love you, but I do not have a feeling of strong or constant affection for every single person in this room. And so with this definition, with the worldly definition, it is very hard to love one another. All right? So what are we to do when this is what the world has told us what love is? Well, what we do is we go back to what has God told us what love is, and what does his word say? So I went to the love chapter, and I kind of laughed because I was like, I'm going to preach on the love chapter. How, like, what's the word I'm looking for? I lost it. Anyway, how perfect. I'm going to teach on love, and I'm going to teach out of the love chapter. Are you ready? Okay, so I'm going to give you some context of what's happening. Paul is the one who wrote this letter to the Corinthians. And in chapter 12, he is talking to them about the gifts in the church, the gifts that God of the Spirit that God has given to us. And he's explaining them, and he's saying, hey, you're making some things more important than others, and all of these gifts are part of the body of Christ, and, understand what God is doing, what the Spirit is doing. And at the very end of 1 Corinthians 12, at the end of verse 31, he says, and this is the Passion Translation, and now I will show you a superior way to live that is beyond comparison. Man, all the stuff that he was talking about in chapter 12 is so cool, and it's so amazing, and it's so perfect when it all works together. And he's saying, and yet, I'm going to show you something that is superior to this. Guys, gifts are good, but love is superior. And we got to get this. We got to get this. Our gifts are good, but love is superior. Preaching, teaching, doing Sunday school, leading worship, those things are good, but love is superior. The most important thing for Christians is to become deeply and consistently loving people. The most important thing that we can do is to deeply and consistently love people. And he says so then he goes we're into chapter 13. By the way, he did not write it in chapters. He just wrote a letter. We broke it up into chapters. So he's saying love is superior, and then he goes right into this fact that spiritual gifts do not define our worth to God or to the church. My worth is not defined by my spiritual gifts to you or to God. And all of these things are meaningless without love. You can give a lot of money, you can serve a lot of time, you could do a lot of things, but all of that is meaningless if we do not have love as our motivation. And I'm not talking the strong affection consistent with a person. I'm talking about godly love that he has demonstrated to us. And when we have that as our motivation, then everything has meaning and life. So in 1 Corinthians, if you've read chapter 13, it goes into a list, and I love lists, honestly. I love lists. I actually write on my list, write a list, so I can check it off. Write your list. Okay, done. Yes. So I love lists, and I look at chapter 13, and I'm like, all right, Lord, you laid it all out. You laid out specifically what love looks like. And I love this. So I go to the list, and it starts in verse 4. And the very first thing it says, love is patient and kind. Oh, full stop. No check mark. I can't even move on to the next verse. Because I had read a devotional that said, if patience is how love responds or reacts, kindness is how love acts. If patience is how love reacts, kindness is how love acts. And I am not patient. And I've had some people say, yeah, you are patient. I said, oh, yeah, I'm really good at being patient with people who do not affect my life. I am not patient with people who affect my life. The closer you get to me, probably the less patient I have become. Because your choices, your decisions, your words, they affect me and I don't like it. And I can become less patient. It's really easy for me to be patient. Well, no, it's not. Let me take that back. I mean, when I'm driving and somebody does something that I think is like, what are you, I don't really have a lot of patience because you affected my life. And I just wonder if there's anybody else in here that can resonate with that. Anybody on social media resonate with that? You're affecting my life, so I have zero patience for you. Woo, boy, we are good at loving when that is the definition, right? The very first two parts of what love is patient and kind. And I was like, oh, Lord, I can't even check one of those. I have moments of patience. I have moments of kindness. I'm not saying I'm a jerk to everybody all the time. I'm just saying that is not how I live. And I want to remind you also of this. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. When I get frustrated with my lack of loving, I get reminded that I can't produce that fruit on my own. I can't make myself more loving. I can't make myself more kind. What I can do is open myself up to the Spirit who is that. And I think the reason that I can struggle so much in loving people is because I so struggle with allowing the Spirit to live in and through me to other people. Because I think I can do it, and I think I should do it. And by gosh, I'm gonna do it. That doesn't work real well for me. So I want to tell you a story about something that God's done in the last few months. And it's kind of funny. Well, and I have pictures, which I'll get to in a minute. So sometime back in March, God invited me to plant a seed, like an actual seed, like a plant, okay? This is funny for many reasons. One of them is that I don't really keep things alive very well. I know nothing about gardening. I have tried a couple times to do plants. I always buy the plants and put it in the ground, okay? Seeds, not my thing. And I felt like the Spirit had said to me, I want to invite you to do this because I have something I want to teach you through this process. I got some ways I want to connect with you. And I said, okay. So like I do everything, I overthought it. And I over-researched it, all right? So I'm online trying to, like, what seed should I plant? all right, should I do this? I love trees. Should I plant a tree? That will take forever. Should I plant a fruit? Should I plant a vegetable? Should I plant an indoor plant, an outdoor plant? Some seeds you have to soak. Some seeds you just throw in the ground. Some, like, seriously, this is what I did. This is what I did. And for a couple weeks, I was just paralyzed with so much thinking. And finally, I said to the Lord, all right, it was the week of Easter. I said, all right, I'll do it. I'm just gonna go to the store on Friday, Good Friday, and I'm gonna get a seed and I'm gonna plant it. I'm just gonna do it. And I was talking to somebody about this sweet friend, and she's like, do you want me to just go buy you a seed? And I was like, no, I'm gonna do it. So Thursday, the day before I was gonna do all of this, I go home from work and I open up the mail, and there's a letter in the mail to me, and it's inside are three seeds and a note that said, I felt like the Lord wanted me to send you these seeds. And I was like, shut up. What? So I was like, I see you, Lord, I see you. And I hear you, and I hear you saying, would you stop? I know what seed I want you to plant. Just plant it. Just do it. So I was like, all right. So I still had to go buy a pot and dirt because I don't have that. So I did. I bought the plant and the dirt, and I put the seeds in there. So these are my three little seeds. And what he said in that, and oh, by the way, I texted the person who sent me the seeds, and I said, you have no idea what God just spoke to me through you. And she said, do you want me to tell you what they are? And I said, no, I want to be surprised. God knows what he wants planted. I want to be surprised by what I'm planting. She's like, all right. I said, do I have to soak them? Like, seriously, is this going to be hard? And she's like, no, just put them in dirt and give them water and sunlight. And I was like, all right, I can do that. All right, so I did. And here's the message is that he knows what to plant and he knows what he's planted. And he said, my partnership with him in this process is to give these seeds water, to put them in the dirt, and to put them in the sun. And understand, here's something so cool. All three of those things can only happen from him. You cannot have water, you cannot have dirt, you cannot have sunlight, cannot, without him. So even the stuff that he was asking me to do to partner with him with the seed that he gave me had to come from him. He's the source of it all. And in this process, he was showing me what I was doing with the seeds that he's been giving me in my life, in the way that I have partnered with him. I've been partnering and contributing to the seeds in my life with anger and impatience and criticism. And he's not the source of that. And if I were to like plant an actual seed in that kind of environment, this is what I pictured. It's like planting a seed in pudding, watering it with Gatorade, and then sticking it in a dark closet and saying, I hope it grows. What grows in that? Nothing. And he said, Jill, there's seeds I have planted in your life that you have tended with impatience and criticism and anger, and it's not growing, and you're frustrated. I want you to try it my way, with kindness and patience, love and encouragement, because he's the source of all of that. And what grows in that? Exactly what he planted. So he has invited me into this process with him, this partnership with him. He says, I've got the seeds and I've got the source of all of the things that you need. And I just need you to partner with me in that process because I'm going to grow something. And you don't always know what I'm going to grow, but I'm going to grow it. But I will, and I want to grow it with you. And these are the three things: patience, kindness, and encouragement. So, as you can imagine, because I'm talking about patience and kindness, I didn't have a lot of patience in this process. So, I'm going to show you the next picture of what I stared at for weeks. Nothing. I stared at nothing. I stared at dirt in my cute little pot. See, it's a cute little pot. I planted 3 seeds in that pot, and then I waited, and I waited, and I waited, and I watered it, and I waited, and I put it in the sun, and I waited, and I was growing impatient, because I was like, nothing is happening. Now, I'm not a complete idiot. I do know that it takes a little bit of time for something to grow, but it was still not happening in the timeline that I thought it should happen. And so there was a moment where I was super tempted to just dig it up and look and see if anything was happening and then put it back down. Has anybody done that? Anybody done that? Okay, anybody been tempted to do that? I've been very tempted. I was like, I should have done this like my 5th grade science class where you had like the bean that you put in like a clear jar and then you could watch the whole thing. I was like, I should have done that instead of this because I was too impatient. But I didn't do it. Because I felt the Lord speak this to me. The Spirit spoke this to me. He said, if you dig it up in your impatience, you can delay, damage, or even kill the process beneath the surface. Whew. I said, okay, I'm not going to touch it. Okay. And then he said, we've done this to each other. This is how we have loved one another. As we have dug up looking for proof that something's happening and looking for proof that something has growing. And church, this is for us. That if we dig it up in our impatience, we can delay, damage, or even kill the seeds that God's planted in us and in our body. So I want to read you something that I wrote during this particular time. And I want to read it to you because I went back and looked at it as I was preparing for this. And I was like, ooh, I'm glad I wrote that down. Because I want to tell you about a time where I experienced this very thing recently. I experienced this very thing in what God showed me through my plant, my dirt, and my life, okay? I wasn't the one who was needing patience. It was someone else and their lack of patience with me. They were frustrated with me because I hadn't fixed the things that they had wanted fixed in the time they wanted it fixed in. All I could think in that moment was, I'm working on it, but it doesn't appear overnight. The feelings I had in that moment were close to shame, fear, and I felt incredibly unsafe. The message of impatience was, you're not working hard enough, fast enough, good enough. And because of that, I don't believe you're working at all. Deep down, I knew that wasn't true. I have worked so stinking hard on awareness and healing and making changes, but this person wouldn't know that because it was all below the surface. All that they knew was that they didn't see the fruit of it yet, or at least the fruit that they were wanting. Also in that moment, I realized how powerful and beautiful patience is. Patience is safety. Patience says, I love you and I will wait as this unfolds. Patience says, we've got all the time that we need. Patience says, grace and mercy. And patience says, I trust the process. And patience says, I'm with you in the process. And also in that moment, I realized how hurtful I have been to myself and to people close to me. I've spoken many messages of impatience, and I have caused harm to myself and others. I've made others feel unsafe and unworthy because I wanted it faster than it was possible. And instead of the seeds growing, they've been choked out. There's a lot that happens beneath the surface of my life and others, things we don't know about and that we may never know about. Patience allows those things to grow, and it's beautiful and it's powerful. And if we insist on digging it up in ourselves and others, we can stunt growth or even kill it. I have found myself at times going, are you seriously having to learn this all over again, Jill? How many times does God have to teach this to you? You should just know it. I don't even know all of the things that he is doing in the back end of my life yet. But man, it's not as fast as I want it to be. I want to just be loving. I want to just be kind. I want to just be patient. And I want it to happen right now. And that's not reality. Patience and kindness, they're hard. I want to tell you something that I believe he showed me. He said, I believe that our level of patience directly correlates to our level of trust in God. Okay? Less patience, less trust. More patience, more trust. Because if we trust what he is doing, then we will also trust his timing. A trusting person is a patient person. And about 25 years ago is when I became a follower of Christ to a new level. 25 years feels like a really long time. And it feels, I can be very frustrated with myself going, Jill, you've been doing this for 25 years. Why do you still not get this? That's impatience. Because there is a lot that God has done in my life. And there is growth, and there is progress, and there is change. But as a recovering perfectionist, it's still not good enough. And I gotta be okay with staring at dirt for a while, because I don't understand what God's doing beneath the surface. And I'm ready to hit the refresh and go, all right, God, show me what you've done. So I want to show you what happened after a couple weeks. Bing. Okay. Seriously, you're cheering for my little tiny sprout. Only one seed grew. Only one seed has grown out of the three that I have planted. And at this point in time, I still had no idea what it was. But here's what he spoke to me in this. He says, growth will come. Life will come when you do the things that you have asked you to partner with me in. Jill, as you are patient, as you are kind, as you are encouraging, as you are loving with yourself and with others, growth will come. Because this is the thing, he's planted seeds not just in me. He's planted seeds in you. There are and you might not know what they are yet, but he's planted them in you, each person in this church individually, because we are the church. It's not a seed that he's planted in this building. It's the seed that he's planted and seeds that he's planted in multiple, multiple people in this church building. And you know what? You want to see fruit? Don't go demand to see it. Don't say, show me that you're a Christian by your service. Don't go to somebody and say, show me you're a Christian by whatever you want to put in that thing. You show that you are a follower of Christ by loving them with patience and kindness and encouragement. And that seed will grow in you and it will grow in others. That's why love in community is so important. Because do you know what kind of fruit will be produced when all of the seeds in all of our lives actually grow? And we don't tear each other down because we don't believe the exact same thing all of the time. When we put unity in Christ above everything, love for Christ, love wanting another above everything, above gifts, above service, above everything. What? It's going to be way bigger than that sprout, I promise you. So a lot happened between this picture and my next picture, but you can go ahead and show my next picture. Bing. There's my sprout, and I know it needs a new pot. Don't anybody else have to tell me that. I'm learning my process. I showed it to the person who gave me the seeds. She goes, you need to repot that. I was like, okay. Here's the cool thing. God has grown that with me. As a partner, I've never grown anything from seed. I feel like a grandma. I bring out my pictures and like, look at the progress. It's so beautiful. Here's my plan. And there's a reason there's a stick in there, but I'm not going to get into that right now. That's a whole other sermon. I'm not kidding. He has been speaking to me very loudly through this plant for 4 months. All right? And I've shared it with women in our prayer group, and they're like, this is our prophetic plant. We are claiming this with you because it almost died. Okay, so anyway, I want you guys to know something else that is so special about this seed. And some of you probably already know what plant this is. Okay, still, did not know what kind of plant. But I was watching it one day, and I noticed that in the morning it was facing east, and in the evening it was facing west. Do you know what plants do that? Sunflowers. And I said, God, I have a sunflower, don't I? Then I had to Google it, and I was like, I do. This is a sunflower. Let me tell you something really cool. Sunflowers bloom around my birthday and for the whole month afterwards. My birthday is the end of this month, and all of August, I have noticed sunflowers very specifically. I don't know if they're my favorite flower or not, but they are very noticeable to me. And I think they bring beauty and life to ugly roads. And it is a plant that follows the sun all day long. Do you hear that message right there? Follows it all day long. It hasn't bloomed yet, obviously. I was told it will. Maybe it'll come on my birthday. Wouldn't that be the coolest thing ever? So I say all of this, and Danny can come up here. I'm going to wrap this up here, and Mark can come up here, because there's some other lessons I've been learning in this last few months about 3.5 years ago, I started having health issues, and I've been working very hard to fix them. They're not fixed yet. And about 7 months ago, things started getting worse. And I just really tired, really fatigued, really achy. I was kind of scared I had COVID a few times. I don't. And then through some other processes, about 3 weeks ago, 2-3 weeks ago, I was diagnosed, as much as you can be, with chronic fatigue syndrome, which is all of the symptoms I've been having, especially the last 7 months. And like I do have done, I just was like, I can power through this. It'll be fine. I'll be fine. We'll be fine. I can do it. It's fine. I'll just change a couple things. I'll be fine. And I'm not fine right now. This last week really showed me that my mind is wanting to do things that my body can't actually do right now. And so I've made the decision to resign my job here. And it's not an easy decision that I made, because I don't really want to. I love working here. I love the people that I'm working with. I love what I'm doing, and I'll tell you, I'm so stinking excited for the future of a leadership school. And this last week, I experienced so much brain fog and so much pain. And I was like, I can't take this on. And it's funny because I feel like this decision has been on my horizon, and I was like, I don't have to go there. I'll go here. I'll go here. I'll go here. I'll go here. I'll try this. I'll try this. I've literally done everything that I can do to try to avoid this decision. And I felt like the three most important things in my life right now, my health, my marriage, and my children, are all suffering because I just want power through and do it. And so
I told my boss that I was done over coffee at our house. I said, I really had to make this decision on my own because I get tempted to please people. I don't want to let anybody down. I made plans with a lot of people, like Thursday. And by Thursday evening, I was like, you can't do this. And we are supposed to have a meeting next week on what I felt like my, I'm so excited about, the passion and vision God's given me for this school. And he asked me to open my hands and lay it down, and he's going to take care of it. I don't know what that means right now. And I don't really even know, I've had a lot of people, the people I've told the staff, the elders and the council and all those people I made promises to, that I'm like, by the way, I'm gonna take that back. You know, I've had a lot of people say, well, how can we support you? And I'm like, I have no idea. Because I don't know. I don't think that doing this is gonna make everything okay. Because there's a lot of stuff that, a lot of patience and kindness I need to show to myself and receive from God so that I can heal. So this is the last time I'm going to be preaching for a while. And I know I just got ordained. It doesn't make sense, does it? but it doesn't have to make sense. Hurting myself more is stupid, and that's what I tend to do instead. So anyway, I'm going to stop talking about all that, but I wanted to let you know what is happening. I do have a couple weeks that I'm going to be working on transitioning out of my responsibilities. And then I will see. I'm not quitting the church, but I am stepping... I am stepping way back for a while, because for 25 years, as I've worked with him, there's a lot that I can fall into, and great things. I'm not making sense. Anyway, I just want to let you know that's where I'm going, and that's where I'm at. And I asked Mark to, thank you. I asked Mark to, thank you. Please sit down. Thank you. Thank you. You guys honor me and you bless me, and I'm grateful. And this is going to be hard for me. But I asked Mark to come and close for me, please.
I might need a Kleenex, too. I do need one. But thanks.
I stocked up.
there's a picture that she didn't take that really kind of expresses something to you. The seed grew, that little first one. And we put it in the window. It was inside, and we put it in the window. So it was getting sun for part of the day. And this shoot sprouted really fast and just grew. It was like, phew. But it was leaning over. It was weak. And when she says it, the plant almost died. We recognized that it needed to be directly in the sun.
I didn't know it was a sunflower.
No, we didn't. We're like, yay, it's growing. This is amazing. But it was this puny, weak look. It was just flopping everywhere. That's probably why part of it broke. I'm like, look, it does this. No, I'm just kidding. In that, there's a word in that oftentimes we try to do it ourselves. And you see growth. Even when you're doing it on your own strength. But it will never be its fullest until you allow the Lord to take full control. And that was scary because we put this flower, this plant, outside, and it's windy, and it's really hot and dry. And in the middle of June, I mean, y'all know, it was like the hottest it's been in this town forever. And so we're going, is it going to live? Is it going to be okay? I mean, we're kind of trying to shelter it and all of this stuff, but at the same time, it had to be outside. And the more that it was outside, the stronger this thing got. It lost the part that was so limp. I mean, that whole thing fell off. But in its place,
it broke off.
Yeah, because the wind took it.
Yeah.
And
I was told by people who know, I've never seen something recover.
Right. It wouldn't recover, but this one did. This one grew. And it was a demonstration to, I think, both of us of God when we surrender, when we allow him to take full control, the growth, the strength, the equipping, the way that it was supposed to grow. And this thing is like huge. And the wind blows and it's like, it's not like, it's, so I'm like, come on, God is so good. So anyway, regardless of a position, you are an ordained pastor. And you don't need the paycheck to
just kidding. I'm kidding.
You don't, I know.
But
you don't need the title to walk in it, is what I'm trying to say. So anyway, let me pray for all of us. And would you guys just stand, please? And y'all, thank you for your love and support for my wife. And she is an amazing woman. And it hit me in the shower this morning that for 23 years, I've had her by my side. But when we were dating, she started volunteering in the youth ministry. It was only 4 years ago that she actually was a paid employee by the church. And in fact, for most of this time, she's just been volunteering. And the fact that in these ways, she's stepping down from all of this stuff, it really hit me this morning that she's not going to, I mean, she's here, but she's not. You know what I'm saying? And that made me feel really vulnerable, more than I realized. So I'm grateful for you. And this is an interesting season, but as the wind comes, as the sun blows, we will follow the sun. So, you guys pray, let's pray. Lord, thank you. I thank you for this amazing woman by my side. And I thank you for her choice to walk in patience and obedience, to answer what the Lord is asking her to do. Lord, I pray healing over her body. Lord, would you move in all of the cells in her to take away all of the stuff, Lord. I pray for a freedom from all of the anxiety and the stress and the things that have been weighing down, pushed it in, stuffed down, all of the stuff that has been carried, the loads that have been put on her, forced on her, that she has willingly accepted, and the stuff that has just been there forever and ever, Lord, that has brought about all of these things. I just pray for freedom. Lord, may you just remove these things from her. That in this season of rest, in this season of being wife, mother, God, may you just give her a new sense of renewal in you. And I just pray these things, Lord, in your name. Lord, would you just help all of us as we grow in our love of you and for you. May we recognize the love that is reciprocated and brought back and shown to us every day. And Lord, as we realize this, help us, Lord, to love one another. Give us the patience. You are so so good. And in the season, we know you have your hand on us. And I know you have your hand on this body. And Lord, you have never let that go. So Spirit, continue to move in this place. Move in the hearts of all of us that are here and those that are not here today, but consider the River Church their home. Lord, would you just move? And we just praise you and thank you, Lord. May we see more of what you have in store for us, God. We give you glory and honor in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Amen.